The scripture reading this evening is 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning to read with verse 17 and reading to the end of the chapter. It's on page 380 in your Bibles. We saw last time and the two previous times that Elijah the prophet prayed that it might not rain, and it's not raining. And they're in a terrible drought. And first the Lord took care of Elijah at the brook with ravens to give him bread and meat twice a day. And then the brook dried up, and then the Lord sent him to Zarephath. And the Lord commanded a widow there to take care of him. And so the widow and her son, who were dirt poor, had nothing, just a little flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And she was just getting a few sticks together to make the last meal for her and her son. When Elijah came and said, "Please get me some water." And as she was going, he said, "And make me a little cake also." And she said, "As the Lord lives, I don't have anything but a little flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug." And Elijah said, "Make me a cake first, and the Lord will preserve you by making that flour and that oil continue until the Lord sends rain." Now we come to the next episode in this very interesting story. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, the son became ill, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance, and you have come to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." So far the reading of this word of God. Before we open it, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our Father, as we look at this very beautiful experience in the life of Elijah and the life of this widow, Lord, we pray that you will show us that you are the true and living God. help us to know that as a certainty for our lives, that we may walk in your ways, that we may trust in the Lord in good times and in bad times. Hear us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the story of Elijah is very interesting. He is now at the home of this widow, whom the Lord had commanded to take care of him. And the flour did not diminish, and the oil didn't fail by the word of Elijah, by the word of the man of God. So, that widow's house was like Bethel. Bethel is the meaning of this. It is the house of God, the gateway to heaven. That widow's home was like a gateway to heaven. Every day the miracle was there again. Every day there was flour. Every day there was oil. And every day there was food for Elijah and the widow and her son. And so they thrived. Even though they didn't have a lot, they had enough. They had enough for their survival. And they were happy. They were content. They were satisfied. That's amazing. They were satisfied with not very much. But they were satisfied with enough. But calamity struck. It came. Trouble came. And sometimes it does. There's a saying in the Dutch language that every house has its cross to bear. Elke huis heeft zijn kruis. Every home has a cross. It looked like this woman, this widow woman and her son, had made it through the famine, through the drought. Looked like they made it through. They survived. But alas, her son took sick. And the sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him, and he died. There you have a tremendous problem for this widow. And the widow, she is not happy. You wouldn't be happy either. She is not happy. She says, "What have you against me, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son?" Look at the widow's response. The widow's response looks, and she knows some things. She knows that the drought that has come upon the whole area was as the result of Elijah's prayer. And now her son dies, and there's something that she's sure of, and Elijah is sure of this too, that God caused it. That God is behind this. She is sure of it. Because God was behind the flour not diminishing and the oil not diminishing. God is behind that. And now this terrible thing has occurred in her life. Her own son is dead. Couldn't God, who keeps that flour going and that oil going, couldn't he have kept him, that boy, from dying? So she concludes, something that I did must have happened, must have brought this about. She concludes that. You know, if you take boiling water, if you take water, and you put in that boiling water a
a raw egg in the shell, an egg in the water. And you put in that water a potato. And let that water boil, two things will happen. One, the egg will get hard. The other, the potato will get soft. Those two things are going to happen. One will get hard, the egg, and the potato will get soft. Now, the boiling water is like the circumstances of our life. In this widow's life, the circumstance was her son died. That was like the boiling water. Trouble is like boiling water. It can cause two things. It can either cause hardening, like an egg which gets hard in boiling water, or it can soften. Now with this widow, the first reaction was hard. What have you against me? Are you bringing my sin to remembrance by taking my son? You see, it's like that egg getting hard. But look at Job. Job lost his children too. And not only did he lose his children, he lost all of his possessions. And eventually he lost his own health. And that was boiling water in Job. And what was the result? Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And through all of this affliction, Job did not sin with his mouth. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the boiling water with Job brought softness. It brought tenderness. It brought an increase of faith and trust in the Lord. But with this woman, that boiling water, the death of her son, brought forth a complaint. What have you against me, O man of God? Have you brought my sin to remembrance by taking the life of my son? Those two reactions to difficulty can happen in our lives too, either one or the other. All of us have gone through one trial or another. All of us have experienced something. And if you haven't, you're going to. You're going to experience something. Calamity, trouble, sickness, death, accident. Whatever problems are common to people, we have them too. What's your reaction? What's your reaction? Are you going to grow through them? Are you going to be like a potato that with that boiling water gets soft? Is your faith going to increase? And your trust, is that going to increase in the Lord? Are you going to take the promises of God to your heart that says, fear not, only believe? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Is that going to be your reaction? Or are you going to say, what have I done? Why do I deserve this? Why does this happen to me? I don't deserve this. Like the psalmist in Psalm 73, he became very upset with God. He said, when I look at the people who don't have faith at all, they get along just great. There are no pangs in their death. And it seems like everything they touch turns out well. And me, I perish all the time. I'm having difficulties and trials. And the psalmist finally found resolution when he went into the house of the Lord, where he saw the end. You have placed them who have gone along so smoothly, you've placed them on slippery places. The end is not yet. It looked like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were having a great time, that everything was going super. Everything turned out well for them until the sulfur and the fire from heaven came and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the end of the story. And so the psalmist in 73 looks at life not only through the experience of day by day, but he looks at it from the long point of view. Surely those that are far from you shall perish. As for me, it was good. It is good to draw near to God. I have found in Him my refuge and my strength. And you know how that song goes that is based on that psalm. In sweet communion, Lord, with Thee I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thine own to keep me near Thy side. Thy counsel through my earthly way shall guide me and control, and then to glory afterward Thou wilt receive my soul. You see, that is the potato. In the midst of affliction, become soft. Become soft. And not like an egg, that the more the boiling goes, the harder and harder it gets. That's the way it is with some people. They get harder and harder, and they turn away from the Lord and want nothing to do with the Lord, want nothing to do with the church. And they say, it's just full of hypocrites. I want nothing to do with it. They're like an egg that the more the calamity comes and trouble, and the harder they get. And their heart is hard against the Lord. Oh, that's a terrible thing. Do not harden your heart to the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. It's the Lord behind it. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Remember that. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And Jesus, having loved His own, He loved them to the end, even in the midst of trial and trouble. Jesus came to Peter. How Jesus' heart must have pained when He looked at Peter while Jesus was on trial, having been scourged, spit upon, and He looks at Peter, who had just said three times, and the third time with curses, I don't know that man. How Jesus' heart must have pained as He saw His disciple Peter, who had said, Though everyone forsakes Him, you can count on me, says Peter. You can count on me. I'll never forsake you. And Jesus said, Peter, 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 before the rooster crows in the morning, you will deny me three times. Oh, Peter, when the Lord looked at him and their eyes met at Jesus' trial, Peter's heart melted. It was like that potato softening. And he went out and wept bitterly. And on the glorious resurrection morning, the angel says to the women, you tell His disciples and Peter, you tell him too that I go before you into Galilee, and there you will see me. So Jesus had a rendezvous with Peter. And there on the beach of the Sea of Galilee, After the miracle of fish, Jesus comes to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, you know that I have affection for you. And Jesus asked a second time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, I have affection for you. And a third time. And it grieved Peter that the Lord did it three times, because it brought back to his memory that for three times he denied he even knew the Lord. And Jesus says a third time, Peter, do you have affection for me? And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I have affection for you. He did not use the same word that Jesus used. Jesus used the word agape. And Peter used a lesser word, phileo. But Peter was brought back to the Lord. Jesus brought him into his heart. And Peter became a great messenger of the gospel. That was like the water boiling and the potato softening. Peter softened. He softened. He became a great apostle of Jesus Christ. He proclaimed the word on the day of Pentecost, and there were 3,000 that were saved. And Peter saw the man, the lame man at the temple who had been lame from birth, who asked Peter and John for a handout, and Peter said, silver and gold have I not, but in the name of Jesus Christ, who arose from the dead, who is the Lord of glory, I say to you, arise and walk. That was Peter. He was a beautiful servant of the Lord. That potato softened. Here you have a widow. She knew God's grace. She knew God's power. Look at the flour and the oil that just kept on. It didn't diminish. But now her son is gone, is dead. My son, are you doing this to bring my sin to my understanding and remembrance? We don't know really what that was. Was it a sin that brought about the conception of that little boy? We don't know. But it was something that brought sin to her mind. Her sin. She has a conscience. And that taking of the life of her son triggered her conscience. And she said, did this happen because of me, of my sin? What did Elisha say? He said, give me your son. Give me your son. So Elisha, the rugged reformer, takes that boy. We don't know how old he was. A lad. Elijah takes the boy into his arms and he goes up. Outdoors, there's a stairs. That, in those houses, there was an outdoor stairs, and that went to the upper level. And so Elijah lodged in the upper level of the house, and the widow was on the main floor. And so he takes the lad up the steps into his room and lays the boy on his bed. And then Elijah begins to pray. And oh, the prayer of Elijah. It is prevailing prayer. He prayed that it might not rain. And it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. James says it didn't because Elijah prayed, and then he prayed and it rained. So now Elijah's in the room. And there's Elijah, the dead boy, and the Lord. The Lord. And so Elijah begins to pray. Oh, Lord, my God. Now, do you know what that is? That's Elijah's name. Elijah, Eli is my God. Like Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eli is my God. And that's the first part of his name, Eli. Jam is Jehovah. His name is, my God is Jehovah. My God is the Lord. So Elijah prays. Here's the dead boy on Elijah's bed. And Elijah prays, oh my God, have you brought calamity upon this widow with whom I sojourned by killing her son? He traces this back to the Lord. Elijah is doing exactly what Job says in Job 4:23, verse 4. Oh, that I knew that I might come before him. I would fill my mouth with arguments. That's prayer. It's praying buttressed by the truths that God has given us in his word. And so Elijah uses the sovereignty of God as a tremendous buttress for his prayer to God. Oh Lord my God, have you brought calamity on this widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son? So Elijah comes to the Lord with confidence. He is the Lord my God. You see, that's what prayer is. We come before the Lord with confidence. I know that my Redeemer liveth, says Job. We must come to him with confidence. This God is our God forever and ever. And he will be our guide to the end of life, to the end of time. That's the end of Psalm 48. This God is our God forever and ever. Never forget that. And so Elijah came to the Lord with confidence, trusting in the sovereignty of God and his mercy. Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, oh Lord my God. There again, his own name, Elijah. Oh Lord my God. Let this child's life come into him again. Now, there's no magic in Elijah's body. It wasn't something that Elijah laid on this child and that Elijah's life came into that child and somehow the child lived. No, no, no. That's not it at all. Elijah is a servant of the Lord. He is an office bearer of the Lord God Almighty. He is a representative of Jesus Christ. And he lays himself upon this child. And there's someone far greater who lays himself on us. And it's Jesus Christ. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who fully atoned and satisfied for all my sins and delivers me from the tyranny of the devil and watches over me that not a hair can fall from my head without his will. He makes everything serve my salvation, and he gives me his Holy Spirit that I may know this and be assured of it, and also that I may, with willing and ready heart, live for him and obey him. We have our life from Jesus Christ. Union with Christ is what is the highest good. That's why Paul could say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And he says in Galatians 2, verse 2, it is not I that live, but Christ lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's our secret of life. Elijah represented the Lord of life. And he laid on this boy three times. Does that mean that if your child dies, if you get someone from the Lord to lay on him three times? No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. Three times is something that you find in other parts of the Bible. For example, in Numbers 6, that beautiful Aaronic blessing. Three times, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Three times. Then the seraphim and the cherubim cry out in Isaiah's vision, holy, holy, holy. Three times Elijah laid on this son and he prays. And he lays hold upon the Lord. And he says, Lord, this widow's son, with whom I sojourn, with whom I am because of your command. You commanded her to take care of me, and now you took her son. And now, Lord, show your compassion and your mercy and your power by giving her son life back. And he began to breathe. And the boy was restored to life. And Elijah goes down the steps with that living boy in his arms. And he says to his mother, dear woman, your son is alive. And then the mother, the widow, she had gone through the boiling water. And at first there was hardness. But now there's softness. And she makes a confession that all of Israel had to hear. All of Israel had to hear this. Because Israel had rejected the Lord. They had rejected His prophet. They wanted nothing to do with God. They followed Baal and Ashtaroth. And now this woman makes a testimony. Now I know that you are a man of God. That's what Israel had to hear because they didn't accept that. Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word in your mouth, that the word in your mouth is the truth. Israel had to hear that too, because they rejected that. And I know that this is so. She had seen it in the flour and the oil. She had learned it, and now she knew it. She knew it. Now I know that you're a man of God. And this is what Israel had to hear. Those who had rejected the Lord, though had despised His prophets, they had to hear that the word in His mouth was the word from God Himself, and that the Lord was behind Him, and that He was sent to give the word to Israel, and they had to make the same confession as this widow did. Now I know that you are the man of God and that the word in your mouth is the truth. That's what we got to know too. We've got to know that the word that God has given us in His Bible, that is, it is the truth. We got to know that the church that proclaims His word is the church to which we must go. We must hear that word because that is the truth. And the preachers must bring the word of God 16 ounces to the pound. They must bring it clearly, truly, faithfully, that people stand upon not the words of men, but upon the word of God. Because God is real. God is faithful. Like the psalmist says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. For the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord. And so that testimony of the widow is what all of Israel had to hear. She was a witness, and the witness she bore was as the result of the trial through which she went and through the victory that God gave her. But you know, the Lord gives us so much more. He gave us Jesus Christ, and Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But on the third day, he arose from the dead. And Jesus is alive forevermore. And he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. This is life. This is life abundantly in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have boiling water too. Are you going to be like an egg that gets harder and harder, or are you going to be like a potato that gets soft and tasty and obedient? May the Lord truly have mercy on all of us. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word onto our heart tonight. We thank you for this beautiful story of Elijah, the man of God. Oh Lord, bless us this night. Keep us in the hollow of your hand. In Jesus' name, amen.